Well, anyhow, I've been out of town, out of state for a little over 2 weeks up in Seattle visiting my daughter up there. And I was up there when all the fires broke out around Bonnie Lake. It's the little town that they live in. It's a suburb of Seattle. But anyway, all the power went out at their house and at other people's homes as well. And so they have an electric cook stove even, so everything was down. And then their hot water heater quit working, started leaking, ran water into their garage, so they had to disconnect that to keep the water from going out. So we didn't have any hot water, and that I think that was the same night. Yeah, it was the same night that the power went out. So we're in the dark, and then of course Dave and Brandon, since Dave couldn't work from home, he had to travel in to work, the next day. And Brandon, my grandson up there, he decided he had to take a shower no matter what. But he said later it was brutal. He said it was a lot colder than he thought it would be, but he made it through the shower. Lori just refused. She said she could not get in that shower, not that cold. And so anyhow, they did have a bathtub, so I ran some water into the bathtub, and I don't know how many gallons, maybe 50 or 70, however many usually fills a third of the bathtub, or a little bit less than a third. Anyway, I had about a 2 gallon. I did. The power had come back on at the time I decided to take a bath, so I was able to heat up about 2 gallons of water. Got it kind of hot, put it in there, and then got in. But it didn't warm it up very much, so I just slowly, like one toe at a time, getting in there and finally getting where I could stand that cold water. But anyway, then one morning we woke up, and Dave and Brandon were, gone to work because they had to go in. We still was out of power. Smoke surrounded the house, and I told Lori, it hadn't been this bad, but it had been smoky before. Lots of smoke, but not that bad. And I said, where there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe we should, get out and drive uptown someplace, get a cup of coffee, and survey the situation. But anyway, the fire, it was just the smoke blowing in from the fire. They pretty well got that under control. But they were just what they called a street over, which was really over the main highway and over their little swampland that they have, in their acres there that they have. It's you don't see any water now. You do in the time of the year when the water's there. But now it was gone, just green stuff. But there's probably a little bit of water still in that swamp. But anyway, the fire was over on the other side where people did have to evacuate their homes. But the call never came. But we see some people that do show their love in a time like that. And Lori's, or Dave's sister, actually, Lori's sister-in-law, they invited us over. They didn't have any power either at one time, but they did invite us over. And then Dave's grandson, he even called and left a message that they were going to leave their door open at their house unlocked all night. If we needed to escape and get out of that house and get up to theirs, the door would be open. Come in. So you appreciate people showing love like that. But, there's just so much bad news today. And people never dreamed times would be so bad. Innocent people are murdered. Babies and small children are murdered. Buildings are burned to the ground. Some people have lost their business forever. They can never reopen. And there's so much hatred. People are shot at point-blank range. And it seems like it never ends. But I wanted to read here a couple of scriptures from Matthew, chapter 24, verse 12. Christ says, "And because iniquity shall abound." Now, if you can see my notes on the screen, the reason I do that is so that you don't have to try to look them all up if you want to. But Matthew 24, verse 12, "And because iniquity or sin shall abound," and we see it abounding today, "the love of many shall wax cold." And I think that Mr. Clardy bringing that out in his sermon, it's going to be bad times, and we see it happening in our world today. But verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end. It takes more than just saying that sometime in your life you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. It takes a little bit more than that. Christ said, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So we've seen rough times. We're experiencing rough times. We're going to see some more, but we need to endure unto the end. And then verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And I know in the early days in the church, we came into the church back in 1965, it was brought out many, many times that it wasn't saying here that the gospel would be preached to all the world so that all the world would be saved, but it was preached as a witness. A lot of people won't believe. And it's going to take the actual return of Jesus Christ to bring peace to this world. But anyhow, Christ said, after this happens, after the gospel is preached to all the world, then the end will come. But anyway, I think this is Song of Solomon. I've got chapter 8, verse 7. It just said, in that particular verse, it said, many waters, it's talking about love, and it says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised. So, you know, to me that's saying they don't want love. The world doesn't want love. And they don't want it. And if you were a type of person that you thought, man, I'll give all I own just to see, you know, love in the world, you'd be utterly despised. So that's pretty bad times right there. But anyhow, the SPS means, what does that mean? Specific purpose statement. Anyway, it says, I want to encourage all, including myself, to contend for the faith once delivered. But what is that faith that we must contend for? You know, it'd be kind of hard to contend for faith if you don't know what it is you're trying to contend for. So, and you know, I want to read, I think, all of Jude, first chapter, during the sermon, not all at once, but during the sermon. But here I wanted to bring out something here that came from Rock Corbett, the pastor up there of the church that Lori and Dave attend. And because he wasn't quite so lucky, he had to leave his home. And then he wrote a letter, though, to all the brethren. So I want to read his letter. I thought that would be okay. It says, dear brethren, you are all in our prayers, and I hope all is well for your families. This is the first time since Monday evening that I've had access to my computer, email, and the first item on my list is to write to all of you. Nancy and I are okay, having evacuated from our home as of Tuesday evening. The summer grade fire is about 1/2 mile from our home, and our neighborhood is among those that is under mandatory evacuation orders. I've attached a photo of one of the helicopters that is working to put out the fire. Gary and Nikki Johnson graciously let us invite ourselves to stay overnight on Tuesday, even though they had no power at the time due to a downed power line just across the street from their house. When the power line came down, it sparked a small fire, which Gary and a neighbor were able to keep from spreading by using the yard hose to douse it. So it was like refugees coming to stay with others who almost had a disaster at their home. Roberto went to our home on Tuesday evening and retrieved some important items in case the fire were to expand to the homes on our street. We're grateful for friends who are willing to help. Yesterday, Nancy and I were able to return to our home and collect a few more items and some clothing for the next few days. Our daughter asked how we decided what to take, and I mentioned that I made sure there was no ice cream left in the freezer. Says, finding humor helps in some situations. And yes, yeah, it does. Sometimes you just have to be a little bit humorous to live through some of these situations. They said, it appears that the evacuation order will last for several days, so we're all but moved in with Gary and Nikki. We really appreciate their friendly hospitality. God has given us a place of safety in a beautiful rural setting during this uncertain time. All of the members we've heard from or about are safe from the fires at this time. I believe that in this area, it's only Nancy and I who have had to evacuate. Let's pray that the fires will be brought under control soon and others will not be affected. Many more church members are affected to our south from Portland, from the Portland area southward, and other church circuits in Oregon. Probably also in eastern Washington, California, and elsewhere. Please pray for all our brothers and sisters in Christ. Some areas where members were going to spend the feast are also being directly affected by fires. If any of you need to contact me for any reason, please feel free to do so. If I'm not able to help, we can find someone who is nearer you to help as needed. There are many willing hearts and skillful hands among us. I'll write more and try to catch up with things I've not been able to do for these past 3 days. Be safe and remember to be thankful. Rock from Rock Corbett. So I thought, you know, that letter, I just wanted to read it. I thought certainly it shows a willingness of God's people to serve, and that's what we need. That's part of, you know, the faith that we need to contend for includes a whole lot of things. But certainly, you know, just to show this kind of love that's in people's hearts where they're willing to do these things. And Rock Corbett was, he felt confident in telling the people that if you have some problems, there's other brethren. That if I can't, you know, come and do something personally, there's other brethren in the area that are willing to. So I think, what a testimony. And I love it showing that the people there contending for the faith that was once delivered. And, you know, he mentioned something about, you know, telephones. And it reminded me that the cell phones, they were useless up there because towers had been affected by the fire. So we didn't have any cell phone use. And even the little cordless phone that, you know, like we have here in this house, just, you know, you can pick up the little cordless phone and you can carry it anywhere in the house. Well, those didn't work either. But the phone, it was connected, what we call landline. It wasn't cordless. It was connected right to the line. It still worked. So we were able to get out and communicate and people call, you know, Lori and Dave to check on them. And they got many, many calls and emails, making sure they were okay. Anyway, I'll start into the book of Jude. In Jude, chapter 1, but there's only one chapter. So Jude 1, verse 1 says, and I wanted to read this because in reading it, it's what Jude was concerned with in that day and time. You know, since the beginning of time, people have caused so much trouble, so much so that God even had to destroy the world at one time with a flood that we're all aware of. But after the flood, that didn't end the evil that men are able to do, and we see it, and we see it now all the time. But there was problems occurring there at that time that really concerned Jude. And so although I may not understand all of what that Jude was experiencing and what was in his heart, but I just want to read what he said, and maybe we can, you know, just accept ourselves as living in that time and understanding his concern and should be our concern for today. But Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ, or a bondservant, or just servant, as some versions have translated, but Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to the ones called in God the Father, having been set apart and having been kept to Jesus Christ. Mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. So that's part of the faith that we need to contend for, mercy. I was just reading a little bit this morning. I was checking something else, not related, but where it says mercy, it just keeps, you know, in Psalm 136, just keeps talking about mercy. But some translations I noticed translate that kindness as well. So, but anyhow, mercy it's just talking about the mercy of God, the kindness of God. And we want God's mercy and his kindness to extend to us. And peace. God wants us to have peace, and certainly we do. So we need to stay close to God and develop these things in our own heart. And it says, and love be multiplied to you. Then in this particular translation that I'm reading from, it's got little headings, and this one is judgment on false teachers. Verse 3, having made all haste. So Jude was in a hurry, he says. He's in a hurry to write this. Things seem really bad, maybe about to get out of control. And he wanted to write before it did get out of control. He said, having made all haste to write to you about the common salvation. And we know, we should be so grateful to God that we understand what the common salvation is. And we'll see some of that as we read along. But we understand it. And he said that he wanted to write to them about the common salvation. Beloved, I had need to write to you to exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. And we'll find out later, he even refers to the apostles. You know, Jesus Christ chose 12 men. He trained them for 3.5 years. And then on the day of Pentecost, the New Testament church began. And of course, later he called Paul and dealt with the Apostle Paul for a long time as well. And other people came along, like Barnabas and then different servants of God that we read about in the New Testament. But anyway, Jude is very anxious. You know, I know that we're kind of anxious about the coming election. I know one book that's written by one news host said, I forgot the exact title of his book, but it's basically and he's talking about the result of the election, live or America dies, make a choice. And really he's promoting, you know, vote one. But anyhow, it's live, so he's very serious. In his mind, it's very urgent for the people to act properly. And so Jude, this is back to the church now with Jude, he made all haste. He was in a hurry to write to you, to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered. Apparently, someone was trying to destroy that faith. And then I just have in my notes, what is that faith? But we'll continue along that line. Verse 4, for certain men stole in, those of old, having been written before to this judgment. Already been prophesied about these people coming along. Ungodly ones, perverting the grace of our God into unbridled lust. Just total filth, lust. And denying the only master, God, even our Lord, Jesus Christ. What a statement that those people have come in. But I intend to remind you, you once knowing these things, that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, in the second place destroyed the ones not believing. So he's making a real important point to the church there. That just because you believed once, I want to remind you what happened back in the days of old. That God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But then ones that rebelled, he later destroyed. Verse 6. And those angels, not having kept their first place, we'd be talking about the demons, Satan and the demons here, but having deserted their dwelling place, he has kept in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment, and this version says, of a great day. The day is coming when those demons and Satan, they will receive their just God is allowing them to exist and to cause the trouble they do today for a purpose, but they will eventually receive their reward. And they know it. God has quoted a verse here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, talking about these demons that came out of these men. It says, "And behold, these demons cried out, saying, What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Are you come hither to torment us before the time?" So they knew. They know the torment's coming. They know the judgment day is coming for them. And to me, that makes it fairly clear. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, they say, "If you come to torment us before the time, before the appointed time." Then in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." He knows his time is coming. He knows someday he'll receive the judgment due to him. And it says, "In that great day, that time will come, and Satan will be judged, and the demons with him." Then I wanted to read in 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll get back to Jude, but I just wanted to read some of the things here. To me, these are things that is part of our common understanding of our salvation, and we need to always contend for the faith once delivered. So these are words of faith that were delivered by the Apostle Paul in this case, and I just wanted to read those so that it can just remind us. I think we all know, but like you said, you once knew. Things were really bad there. I think we still know. Hopefully all of us do, but just to read it so that it reminds us of the faith that we need to contend for. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21, it says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And we know that, but it says in verse 23, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." So we're not going to be resurrected until Christ's coming. Verse 24, "Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." So Jesus Christ is going to overcome the evil of this world. And then when he does, he will turn the kingdom over to the Father. And let's keep reading a few verses here. "For he," that is Jesus Christ, "must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet." And this is talking now, about the millennium. We're about to go to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. And, of course, the Holy Days, the Feast of Trumpets coming up next week, then the Day of Atonement, and then the Feast of Tabernacles just around the corner. But anyhow, it says in verse 26, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet," that is God the Father has put all things under the authority of Jesus Christ, under his feet. "But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest or obvious that he," that is God the Father, "is accepted, which did put all things under him." So God the Father is still, in the same position he always had and will always have. Then verse 28, "And when all things shall be subdued unto him," that is when Christ has conquered all things, "then shall the Son also himself," so Jesus also himself, "be subject unto him," unto the Father, "that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." That's part of the common salvation that we need to understand and we need to contend for. Back to the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in like manner to these committing fornication and going away after other flesh, laid down an example before times, undergoing vengeance of everlasting fire. Likewise, indeed, also these dreaming ones even defile flesh and despise rulership and speak evil of glories. Do you see in the news anybody despising rulership today? Well, it's just all you see. And speak evil of dignitaries, yeah, that's all you see. It's just, we're living in some really depressing times. But back to the church. Sometimes things happen in the church. Jude is concerned, and in 3 John, I want to read some scriptures there. In 3 John chapter 1, we'll start in verse 7. 3 John chapter 1, verse 7. For on behalf of his name, they went out taking nothing from the nations. Therefore, we ought to entertain such men that we may become co-workers in the truth. So we need to help, you know, as much as we're able to, we need to help the church do the work that God has given us to do. We need to help those who are laborers in the truth. But then verse 9, I wrote to the assembly or to the church, but he loving to be first of them, Diotrephes, does not receive us. So we got a bad guy in the church coming up. And this is in the first century. Verse 10, because of this, if I come, I will recall his works, which he does, ranting against us with evil words, and not being satisfied with these, neither does he receive the brothers. And those attending it, he prevents and thrusts them out from the assembly or from the church. So if there were brethren at that time that wanted to contend for the faith once delivered, they get kicked out of the church by this Diotrephes. Sure don't want that to happen to us, brethren. I don't think it will, but we need to pray that we all stay close to God. Beloved, verse 11, do not imitate the bad, but the good. The one doing good is of God, but the one doing bad has not seen God. Witness has been borne to Demetrius by all and by the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. So John is just, you know, he's bringing out a situation that happened in the first century during the days of the church. We'll read later the part showing how the church was so excited to begin with, and yet we see as time goes by, evil people creep in. But back to the book of Jude in verse 9. But Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he argued about the body of Moses. He dared not bring a judgment of blasphemy, but said, let the Lord rebuke you. And then in Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. And when I read this, I can also think, you know, that in Revelation, you know, Jesus Christ was saying, you know, contend for the faith once delivered. Don't get involved in all of this evil that's going on. And sometimes you kind of think, man, I might strap on my 6 guns. Of course, I don't have any, but if I did, strap on my 6 guns, go out there and clean up this mess. But Christ says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins. We can't get that involved. And that you receive not of her plagues. Then back to the book of Jude. But what things they do not know, this is talking about these people, we see them today in their demonstrations and their protesting. But what things they do not know, they speak evil of these. And what things they understand naturally, like the animals without reason, they are corrupted by these. Woe to them, because they went the way of Cain and gave themselves up to the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the speaking against Korah. So unless God calls some of these people and they repent, they're going to pay big time. Their day is coming. Verse 12, these are sunken rocks in your love feast. Well, I hope, oh, that reminds me. I don't know this to be true. I just, actually someone just passed it on to me that maybe they know, but in St. George, there's going to be upward of 2,000 people there. It is there's going to be a lot of people there. So it sounds kind of exciting. If it is that many, I haven't been to a feast that big since the old days of long ago. But anyhow, again, verse 12, these are sunken rocks in your love feast, feasting together with you, feeding themselves without fear. Oh, there's people that they're not afraid at all. They can blaspheme God. They can condemn what we believe and try to deceive us into going away, not contending for that faith. But they're waterless clouds being carried about by winds, fruitless autumn trees, having died twice, having been plucked up by the roots. Then verse 13, wild waves of the sea foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackness of darkness has been kept to the age. And the seventh from Adam, Enoch, who prophesied to these men, saying, behold, the Lord came, I think in the King James says, with 10,000s of his saints, to do judgment against all, and to rebuke all the ungodly of them concerning all their ungodly works which they ungodly did, and concerning all the hard things ungodly sinners spoke against him. Now, there is a book of Enoch that we believe is not, it's not the Enoch that Jude is writing about here, although that book contains a statement similar to this. But anyway, it's a different story. But now, verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, going according to their lust, and their mouth speaks proud things, admiring faces for the sake of gain. But you, beloved, remember the words spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's referring to us. If you want to know what faith you should contend for, well, go back and read. Of course, it's in the Old Testament. And many of the writers in the New Testament, they've quoted hundreds of verses from the Old Testament to confirm what they're saying is from God. So it's God's word. But here, Jude refers to the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because they told you at the last time there will be mockers following ungodliness according to their lust. These are they setting themselves apart, animal-like ones, not having the Spirit? But you, beloved, building yourselves up by your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, eagerly awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to everlasting life. And pity some, making a distinction, but save others with fear, snatching them out of the fire, hating even the garment being stained from the flesh. So I think Jude is telling us here there are people in the church, maybe start to be misled a little bit. And if we see that they're willing to listen, we can save them from destruction. But others, there's nothing we can do. Anyway, now to him, being able to keep you without stumbling and to set you before his glory without blemish, with unspeakable joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and might and authority, even now and forever. Amen. Well, now then, let's see what time it is. Getting kind of, is that much time gone by? Looking up at our clock. I wanted to read some also from Mr. Kubik, and I thought it might be possible that Mr. Taylor would read some, but when I was reading what came from Mr. Kubik, I thought it was just so inspiring. We got the feast coming up, and I've added, verses in the Bible, that Mr. Kubik referred to. But anyway, I just want to, I'll reread that and see how much time I have. But anyway, Mr. Tate has already read it and commented on it, but since it's in my notes, I think I'll go ahead and do that. But anyway, it says, very shortly, this is from Mr. Cuby, possibly the most unusual festival season in our modern times will commence. This time embodies renewed excitement, encouragement, and the making of many new memories, all centered on celebrating the coming kingdom of God. Despite all of the challenges we may have faced this year, this time is still one of joy. And I think back, you know, in the early days when I came into the church, all the wonderful excitement. I was so excited to be receiving the joy and the knowledge of God and the kingdom of God and the faith that was being delivered. And to me, this letter is also telling us, though those words are not used, to, oh, let's get excited. It's going to be a different feast than we've had before, and times are evil. Let's contend for that faith once delivered. But then, continuing to read from Mr. Kubrick, the Feast of Tabernacles will be a spiritual oasis for all of us, a blessing of cool peace that we miraculously can deeply drink in. Let us prayerfully and joyfully take full advantage, filling our spiritual reservoirs to the full. What irony that is that in less than a month before the American election, Christ's little flock, really small compared to the 7.5 billion people on the earth, Christ's little flock, will observe and celebrate the way to peace that so few understand in this present age. And we need not fear. As Christ said on one occasion, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But Mr. Kubik says here, we need not fear. God indeed is in this present age, and we need not, well, read the wrong line there. And we need not fear. God indeed is our refuge. Psalm 46. We are to stand out as bright lights in the darkening age. And bright lights we are. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. So I wanted to read those, add a little bit, a few verses to it. But in Psalm 46, verse 1, the heading up here in my translation here is, God is our fortress. But it says, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth, I guess is that name there. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But let's not fear. Let's not get afraid. Verse 2, therefore will not we fear, is the way this translation puts it. We will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now that would be rough times. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, if all of that happened, it says, don't fear, don't be afraid. You know, God will never leave us or forsake us. And we need to contend for that faith once delivered. So we're ready for the coming Feast of Tabernacles. We're ready for the return of Jesus Christ for the kingdom of God to be established. And let's not fear. It says in verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So that time is coming, brethren. God cannot be moved. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. And the awesome power of God. So we know he's on our side. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, starting there, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The Christ is saying there can be some troublesome times come. Just hang in there. Endure to the end. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. So we don't need to lose our faith. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light into all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Because of time running out on me, and Mr. Taylor has read some that was written by Mr. Kubik, I'm just going to read some of the scriptures that, you know, Mr. Kubik referred to. And so I'm going to jump down to John chapter 13, verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, if we love, you know, if we show that kind of love at the feast, if we care about our brother, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. I know that in the beginning, if we have 2,000 people, and I'm not sure we will, but if we do, in St. George, and of course, whatever we have in the other feast sites, if we show love to one another, the people in those towns, they notice it. They notice us. Verse 18, he that believes on him, John 3:18, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this, John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved, the Greek word there, agapeo, men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So people actually with a strong love, but that love is toward darkness. Verse 20, for everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Again, I'm going to skip what Mr. Kubik said. I think Mr. Taylor covered most of this. Well, I don't know. Let me read this part here, and then I'll go to some scriptures. Beginning now and in the days ahead, this is from Mr. Kubik, I especially ask that you pray that God's love will be powerfully poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. I ask that you daily pray confidently for safe assembly. Drink in the truth. Entreat God that he would powerfully use us according to his will. Together at this feast, let us collectively claim the promise that in the days ahead, God will set an open door for us to do his will, a door that no one can shut. And he's referring to Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. I'll read some here from the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. Well, you know, when we're suffering sometimes, you think, well, we need to just be thankful, because that tribulation teaches us to be patient. We know that a relief is coming, that a reward is coming, so we patiently wait, even through trials. Verse 4, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And then just to read the scripture that Mr. Kubik referred to in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these same things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. So Mr. Kubik said, let's pray that God will open those doors for us to preach. And then Mr. Kubik, you know, said, finally, as we approach and enter into the festival season, let us consider and reflect on these words of one faith, one love from our hymnal. And then he just quotes these, from many lands we raise our eyes toward thee. Our voices joined as one great family. Our many lives are woven, fitly blended. Upon thy loom, our differences become one. And as we strengthen one another in thee, thy spirit binds in perfect harmony. Let us strive to achieve that perfect harmony, worshiping God and capturing a renewed vision of the wonder-filled kingdom soon to come. Let us refresh ourselves spiritually and rededicate ourselves that one day we may each hear these marvelous words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. Okay, then may God bless and enrich you now and in the days ahead. My wife, Bev, and I wish you an inspiring feast of trumpets, a meaningful day of atonement, and a wonderful feast. Well, the faith once delivered, I got some other scriptures. I think maybe I might run a few minutes over here, but in Acts chapter 2, I thought this is when the church was first started, and you know, and like I mentioned earlier, I think back in the times when I first came into the church, I was so excited. I'd lost everything, lost my job, didn't know how I was going to, you know, support my family, had my wife and one baby, Lori. I didn't know because I got fired from my job. I had to resign from a little Baptist church. No money and no help from anybody. But finally, God did intervene, and I got a job, and it wasn't anywhere near what I'd been paid before, but it was enough to put food on the table. And I thought, I was so happy. And, you know, that first Feast of Tabernacles, to see thousands of people there rejoicing. That was a faith once delivered. And, you know, in the early days, the people, they were very excited. So in Acts chapter 2, I'll start with verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So they paid attention to what the apostles had been preaching. And fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Many miracles performed. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. And every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, we don't do those things today that way, but we need to be able to if that time ever comes. And it impressed me up there in this Bonnie Lake, part of Seattle, how, you know, people were willing to open their doors for Mr. Corbett, and then for Dave, Lori, and Brandon, and me, all come to their house. Like I said, one grandson said, we're leaving our door unlocked, our front door unlocked all night. If you need to come, you just come. So we need to get to a faith once delivered. Well, maybe we're there. I think we're there. But we just don't need to lose it. Anyway, in Luke chapter 9, it's Luke 9, chapter, verse 2. And he sent them, referring to Christ, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And in Luke 13, verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrust out. It's going to be an exciting time when that time comes. Luke 13:29, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. What a wonderful time ahead. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. And when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You see, a point that I always like to just make, and I know we know this, but the gospel was the good news of the kingdom of God and the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That was preached. And we'll see other verses like in Acts 28 here that say the same thing. Paul was in prison, Acts 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. So that's what he preached to them. And persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses. Oh, wow, he went to the Old Testament. And out of the prophets. Oh, it's also Old Testament. From morning till evening, Paul taught them the things concerning the wonderful coming kingdom of God and Jesus Christ, the things concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord, who makes that kingdom possible for us, who died for us, and who will rule over this earth shortly. Then in verse 31, Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And then in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19, and 20, it says in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Everything given to Jesus Christ. Then Christ says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So here these things are being taught. That was a faith being delivered, which we need to make sure we hang on to, that we contend for that faith. Then Christ says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Well, just in conclusion, back to Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly, seriously, earnestly, with all your heart, we could say, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Hopefully, see all of you next week.